It is February 20th, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I'm John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from Friday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. On this President's Day holiday, we have the news that former President Jimmy Carter, 98, has decided to end medical treatments and enter hospice. Carter, who is the longest living president in American history and who many claim is the greatest former president ever, is at peace with the decision. Having just had to go through this decision with my mother, I know how difficult it is for the entire family. Joe Biden, aviator sunglasses on his nose, is spending the President's Day holiday in Kiev, meeting with President Volodymyr Zelensky in a surprise trip to Ukraine ahead of the one-year anniversary of Russia's invasion, Reuters reported. There are some pictures of the visit from Bloomberg. There's a link in today's newsletter. During the trip, Biden offered unwavering support for Ukraine, the Financial Times reported. My friend Jeremy Grant, a journalist who served with the Financial Times in Chicago, London, and Asia, has returned home to Scotland in recent years. He recently took a trip to his childhood home in Glasgow and decided to pen a commentary about the state of Scottish business in a story for The Scotsman titled, "Scotland's Business Scene is Changing for the Better," Jeremy Grant. In other Scottish news, Reuters reports the Scottish Finance Minister, Kate Forbes, has decided to run for the country's leadership to replace Nicola Sturgeon as Scottish National Party, SNP, leader and Scotland's first minister. Forbes, 32, joined the Scottish Parliament in 2016 and became Finance Secretary in 2020. Bevan Joseph's new The Social Guy podcast, episode number 3, is published, talking social capital with one of Chicago's top financial advisors, featuring Andrea Williams of Northwestern Mutual. Meta has joined Twitter in using the heroin strategy by introducing a free service, getting people addicted to it, then introducing a fee for services. Okay, lots of firms use the same strategy. I even used it myself with this newsletter. But something as simple as two-step verification will be eliminated for those customers who don't pay the new feature, Meta verified, the Financial Times reported. This is a pretty stupid move, putting customers' accounts at risk. The Miami Herald has a story about something in California, a crypto scam database offered by the California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation. The story is titled, "Before Investing in Crypto, Check Out California's New Scam Tracker." The Financial Times has a special report, "Impact Investing." The stories include religious investors put their faith in impact funds. Perfect pitch, how impact entrepreneurs can wow investors. Place-based investment offers lifeline to left-behind towns. Microlending market takes rising interest rates in its stride. Impact funds help fight dementia and antibiotic resistance. Guarantee companies unlock African infrastructure finance, and investors channel funds to safeguard biodiversity. Oh, one last one, I'm sorry. Private equity firms seek piece of the impact investment action. John Grace, the one-time chief risk officer for the OCC, is starting a new position as managing director, enterprise and operational risk, capital and liquidity, ALM, business continuity at Trellient. Claire Kenny has been promoted to senior risk management policy associate at CME Group. Besides this impressive position, she also holds the position of daughter of the most interesting man in the world, Pat Kenny. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. From Barron's, headline, Crypto is dangerous, warns web inventor Berners-Lee, as Bitcoin bears gather. Tim Berners-Lee, the inventor of the World Wide Web system of online information and an early internet pioneer, is the latest to voice bearish views on Bitcoin and its peers, calling cryptocurrencies dangerous in recent remarks. It's only speculative. Obviously, that's really dangerous, the computer scientist said of cryptocurrencies in an episode of CNBC's Beyond the Valley podcast published late last week. He said the strategy was for people who, quote, want to have a kick out of gambling, unquote, added that he didn't want to spend his time investing in purely speculative bets like Bitcoin. My comment, dangerous? Speculative? Worse, he said it was a waste of time. Here's another story, this one from USA Today. Anti-transgender rules, rhetoric, and legislation are shameful stain on America's soul. Is another person's identity threatening to you? Do you have so little respect for your own children that you think the mere mention of gender identity is going to turn them into someone they aren't? The politicians, people, and pundits who've decided that the best use of their time, platforms, and power is to make life more difficult for transgender people, particularly children, I have a question. What the hell is wrong with you? I know leading with that question will put you on the defensive. That's okay. I want you on the defensive. I want you to search your soul, or whatever inhabits the space where your soul once resided, and defend the decision to aggressively attack an already vulnerable group of people for what? For political gain? For clicks? So you don't have to expend the small amount of intellectual energy it takes to understand an issue that, for whatever reason, makes you uncomfortable? My comment. I know firsthand how harmful these rules, rhetoric, and legislation can be for transgender people from my trans friends who have shared with me their concerns, their depressions, and even paralysis from all the politics. Is it so hard to love one another? The headline writer has it right. It is a stain on America's soul. Here's another story, this one from Forbes. Twitter just weakened account security for almost 368 million users. The latest twist in the Twitter tale since Elon Musk bought the company is one of the most worrying to date. In a truly bizarre move, which appears to put penny pinching before account security, Twitter has announced it will limit the use of SMS-based two-factor authentication, 2FA, to Twitter Blue subscribers from March 20th. My comment, stupid is as stupid does, Forrest Gump. Here's a story from Bloomberg. The headline, Swiss may face a future referendum to enshrine status of cash. Campaigners against digital money claim enough signatures. Swiss hold the largest amount of bills and coins per capita. Swiss citizens are likely to vote in a future referendum on whether to enshrine the availability of cash in the Constitution after an initiative to preemptively guard against digital money. The campaigners of the ballot, a group called the Swiss Freedom Movement, this week said they had collected 157,422 signatures in support of such a plebiscite. Officials certify the total did indeed exceed 100,000. The rules of Swiss direct democracy stipulate that a referendum must be held. My comment. Bitcoin was started by supposed libertarians, but when it will be run by central banks, that is a completely different privacy profile. Some Swiss want to bake it into their constitution and enshrine the status of cash. Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Our most clicked story Friday was the OCC page, OCC Transformation on the Renaissance Initiative, a multi-year effort to redevelop and modernize OCC's technology infrastructure. Second was Last True Mansion on New York City's iconic Fifth Avenue, listed at $80 million, see inside, from USA Today. Third was the OCC Board of Directors at the OCC's website. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. First, from the New York Times, the headline, Hedge Fund Billionaire Extracts Billions More to Retire. Bridgewater's founder, Ray Dalio, retired last year after months of negotiations that guaranteed him a gigantic exit package. When Ray Dalio, the multi-billionaire founder of the world's biggest hedge fund, Bridgewater Associates, announced his retirement in October, both he and the firm he founded more than four decades ago treated the moment as celebratory. Mr. Dalio, 73, told his millions of followers on LinkedIn that he felt great about the people to whom he had handed the reins. And one of Bridgewater's two new chief executives, Nirbar Dia, sent an enthusiastic note to clients, "The transition from Ray is done." Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg as well. The headline, Turkey's state-backed markets have few charms for foreigners. Turkey moves farther outside the investment mainstream. Lira and bond markets are already subject to state control. Before last week, the stock market was one of Turkey's last economic pillars that was largely free from political whims of state. That's not the case anymore. Through a series of elaborate rapid-fire changes, the government pushed cash into the stock market and engineered a $20 billion rally in its benchmark BIST 100 index over 3 days. On paper, BIST 100 index is still near an all-time high, but in reality, Turkey has moved another step further from the world of normal finance. And then finally, here's a story from Reuters. The headline, Britain's post-Brexit asset management revamp eyes liquidity tokenization. Britain set out plans on Monday for a post-Brexit review of its rules for the £11 trillion asset management sector, with a focus on bolstering liquidity after a near meltdown in funds used by pension schemes last September. Under Britain's departure from the European Union in 2020, rules for the UK fund sector were written in Brussels. Brexit means UK regulators can write their own regulations, but the Financial Conduct Authority makes clear in its broad review it will stick to strong international standards given Britain's global role in asset management. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.